Amen. Good. Leviticus, if you'll take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter number 19 tonight. Leviticus chapter number 19. And we'll read a couple of verses here in just a second. And I like that song. I appreciate you guys singing that tonight. We just need more missionaries. And all of you kids, you know, you could surrender to the will of God and not decide today where you're going or what you're doing. If you know God's calling you to preach, you don't necessarily have to say that right now God wants me to preach in Texas or Arkansas or South America or Africa or wherever. Sometimes kids at young ages, sometimes they get that dream and God places on their heart and it never goes away. But don't run from your calling. When God calls you, do it. But God will, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do at this age, at whatever age you are, and God will reveal to you every step of the way where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing, what Bible college to go to, where he wants you to be, who he wants you to marry, all of that kind of stuff. And so thank God for a few good men and women that go to the field, that stand with their husbands and so forth. So I hope that you'll pray for me tomorrow. It's a big day tomorrow. Tomorrow morning is a prayer breakfast up here at the school district, once again with the new superintendent this time. Wills Point has a new superintendent of schools. And so at 8:30 in the morning, we have a prayer breakfast with him and then with probably the two assistant principals will be there also. And I don't do the whole ecumenical thing, getting together with all these guys on Thanksgiving services and all, but I don't see anything wrong with this at all. This is not our church getting together. I know the difference between some of them sitting at the table and so forth. But pray for it. And our town's in trouble. Our town is in a mess. And I hope maybe this will give us a relationship with the new superintendent and an opportunity to get into the schools there a little bit and so forth. And then tomorrow night I'm preaching at Brother Grice's church. It's the IBFI, the Independent Baptist Fellowship of Texas in the Great Southwest. I don't know who all will be there, the Great Southwest, meaning like Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana. And for whatever reason, he made me the main speaker, so I'm excited about it. It's kind of dumb on his part, but I'm excited about it, and so be praying for that, if you would, please. So big day tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it. If anybody wants to keep Joshua, he was telling me before church, say, you know, tomorrow night we're going preaching. He's like, huh? I said, yeah, we're going to church tomorrow night, too. He's like, are you serious? It's just him and me standing in the office. Are you serious? I said, yes. So, man, I said, you don't want to hear your ditty preach? And so I told him, all right, when he gets older and he calls me up, he's like, Dad, I'm preaching over here tonight. I'm saying, so? Mowing my yard. So anyhow, hey, I was a preacher's kid. I understand, and many of you understand what that's like. Many of you are, you're not preachers and preacher's wives, but your kids feel like it because you're always around the church. So I understand what that's like to think, man, please, I like preaching, but come on now. We got a house we'd like to see every once in a while. So anyhow, I'm excited about tomorrow night and the message the Lord laid on my heart for that crowd. So Leviticus chapter 19, let's stand together. We'll read two verses and then we'll be seated. Just a final challenge about missions. Looking forward to Wednesday nights. Probably this Wednesday, maybe not till next Wednesday, but we're going to start a Wednesday night series working our way through Proverbs. We're going to call it Profiting from Proverbs. And, you know, honestly, I did it when I first started. I mean, it's like the first series I ever did on Wednesday nights when I first became pastor. And it was back then, it just didn't mean what it means now when I read. I don't have the series. I don't know where all that is. But just reading Proverbs now, If we would just memorize Proverbs, we'd keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. About our finances, about our obedience to parents, about our mouth. And so I just was reading through that. I thought, man, there's so much good stuff. Now you pray, because what I want to do is, when we did the historical books, I did kind of a message from each chapter type of thing. I really want to go kind of verse by verse through Proverbs. But I don't want it to be boring. And Wednesday night, you already have on your forehead, you may not know it, but you had the bless me if you can look. And so I don't want to just sit in here and bore you to death, but there is some good stuff in Proverbs. So we're looking forward to getting into that here. And getting back to the Gospel of John, now that we're done with Missions Month, get back to the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. here in the next week or two. Leviticus 19, verse number 9, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." I'm going to preach tonight just for a little while, and I am going to try to hurry. I know you're tired, I'm tired, missionaries are tired, we're all tired. So I want to preach for a little while tonight on cutting corners for missions. Cutting corners for missions. Lord, would you bless our time together tonight? Thank you for the Beatles family. Thank you, Lord, for their heart for souls and their desire to go to an entire other country and spread the gospel. And I pray, God, you'll bless them. I pray, Lord, that they'll have a fruitful ministry, a lifetime ministry. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to get on board with them soon through our budget and our finances here with our missions. Help us tonight as we just kind of get this last challenge, this last thought, as we start making commitments. Would you speak to us, Holy Spirit? Please, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. There is an opportunity cost involved in everything that we do. You chose to come to church tonight when you could have been at home sleeping, or you could have went out shopping, or you could have maybe went over and saw the grandkids. By the way, you made a right choice tonight by being in church. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse number 1 that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And I realize we have all kinds of responsibilities, don't we? I was making fun of my neighbor a couple of weeks ago because he was mowing a dead yard. And I said, "Look at that clown. There's nothing to mow." And boy, didn't our yards just in 1 week blow up and explode. And my yard looks horrible now. And I'm hoping tomorrow in between the breakfast and the other deal to maybe get to mow my yard. But sometimes we start getting our life out of balance, and then all of a sudden on Sunday night we're out shopping, we should have been in church, or we're going to visit the grandkids, or the grandkids come to our house, we should have been in church. By the way, be a pretty good example to our grandkids and to our children that are out of church if we showed them that God still comes first, just like He did when they were in our home. But that's a side note. The Bible tells us that there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time for sleep, and thank God when we get that time, amen? There's a time for shopping, not all the time that some people take, but there is a time for shopping. There is a time for seeing the family. But God's people ought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. But we do have to count the cost with everything that we do. This also includes where and how that we spend our money. If I go out and I spend $25 at Walmart, I can never again spend that exact $25 anywhere else. If I want to go to Dairy Queen after that, I either have to come up with other money or I just don't go. So there's an opportunity cost involved in everything that we do. If I spend my Sunday afternoon watching TV, then I'll lose the opportunity that I would have had during that exact time to maybe spend that time sleeping and kind of getting a nap. Once that time is gone, it's gone. Now, I've found that most of us, are going to spend our paycheck somewhere. Unless you just make an astronomical amount of money, most of us in here kind of live paycheck to paycheck. And by the way, I always kind of try to throw this in. Even people that make a whole lot of money, if they were wasteful, they could find a way to spend it all. And there are folks that don't make a whole lot, but they're very frugal and they live and they're content. And I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we say, well, if I had more money, some of us would mismanage it no matter what kind of money that we have. I know people like this and have met folks like that, but we are going to spend our paycheck somewhere. Now, we all have what I'll call tonight fixed expenses, and not a whole lot of preach tonight, just a challenge. There are fixed expenses, your house, your mortgage, or your rent. That's every month, and you have to pay that. You don't have an option, and if you think there's an option, you'll be living on the bench outside of the church or on one of the buses here pretty soon. That's a fixed expense. Your automobile, you know, many of us have car payments. That's a fixed expense. Your utilities and things like that. It's not like you can kind of say, well, I'm sorry, Trinity Valley Electric Co-op. I really didn't plan on spending the $200 with you this month, and so I'm just going to give you $175. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, enjoy the cold. It's a fixed expense. You don't have a choice. Then there's what we might call petty cash. In other words, we go to a restaurant on a whim. We go by the donut shop. Say amen. Amen. On the donut shop. Thank you, sir. All right. I take the kids by the donut shop every Sunday morning. It's my morning to cook breakfast. Used to call my brother Shane. Used to, every time he called me, be like, man, what are you up to? Early in the morning, what are you up to? He's like, man, I'm in the donut shop, man, getting the same old thing all the time. Quit acting like you don't go by donut shops. We go to a restaurant. Go by the donut shop. You get your nails done. Guys. Hopefully girls, although there are some guys that get pedicures. I can't say I'm totally against it. I'm going to try it one day. I just don't want the people quitting their job. And they will. You see that? I just wrote down some things. This is just kind of places where we just kind of go, you know, y'all want to go out to eat? There's $30 or $40. You want to go buy a donut shop? There's $6 or $7. You want to get your nails done? I don't know how much that costs. Yeah, we go buy some bullets. Why? Did you need them? Nope, there was a box. You buy a video game. Now, with that in mind, the fact that some of our expenses we cannot change, I've got to, every month, just like you do, write out all my bills, and there's something, and here's the list, and it's the house payment and the truck payment, and for me, it's the car payment and the electric and so forth, and it's fixed. But then there's a little bit of cash here and there where I could say, you know, y'all want to go out to eat tonight, or, you know, the expense like that. Now, with that in mind, let's look back at our text here in Leviticus 19. The Bible says, and verse number 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Kind of repeats the same thing in verse number 10. What God was telling the children of Israel here was that picture a field and picture a tractor out in the field. Let's picture some corn stalks or some wheat in that field. And as they're going up and down, and now they have GPS-guided tractors, and you don't even have to be in those tractors in some places now. But those tractors, they'll get on the edge of the field, and they'll work down one way and down another, and then back up a row, and then back down another. Brother Beatles would know more about this, being from Illinois in that area. A lot of crop fields up there. And they worked back and forth. And what God was telling the children of Israel is, he said, listen, they didn't have John Deere's back then, but when you're harvesting your field, if you picture with me, we talk about people cutting corners, and somebody in a race cut the corner, it means they didn't go around the cone, it means they went inside. And God says, when you harvest your field to the Jewish people, he said, don't be so selfish as to go harvest the entire field. He said, when you're going down and harvesting, just kind of cut that corner, leave that corner right there so that a stranger can have something to eat and they can walk through your field. It's not all gone. He also said, make sure that when you do that, let me get the exact wording, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. The gleanings would be like if you're out there and you're pulling off clusters of grapes from your vineyard and some of the grapes fall on the ground. And or if you're pulling it and you notice that right there on that vine you didn't get 3 or 4 grapes, God says, hey, don't be selfish. Leave some there because there may be a stranger that comes along and they're hungry and they need something to eat. So that was God's instruction to the children of Israel. Now, he'd say, leave a little bit on the corners. The gleanings that fall to the ground or that perhaps you miss a little bit here and there, don't be so picky and so stingy as to take it all. Let the strangers among you be able to walk through your fields and have something to eat. Now, a selfish man would say this, but it's my field. But it's all mine. But I work hard for this. I'm not willing to help others. Let them get their own field. A man who lacked faith would say, but I need all of it. But what if I run out of food? I mean, if I cut the corners, if I don't cut the corners, what it's saying there, but you see the picture of cutting a corner, if I leave those corners, I mean, what happens if 6 months down the road, all of a sudden I needed what I allowed strangers to take? But a godly man of faith would say, hey, I'll do what God asked me to do, and I'll cut corners in order to help the stranger. He said, and look at it again, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Why is it, Lord? Why do you want us to leave some food there? Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. They say, well, what about the stranger? Well, listen to what the New Testament says about strangers. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's you and I. And being saved by grace through faith, being born again Christians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, that's you and I, before we were saved, ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the Gentiles being called that by the Jews, the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, Gentiles, you and I, at that time before we were saved, the Bible says, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Guys, somebody asked me that in Sunday school this morning. Where's the word alien in the Bible? Or were one of the bus riders, are there aliens? I said, I don't believe there are. Now, Brother Cunningham may tell us different, but he may know something we don't know. But I said, I don't believe there are aliens. They said, are there aliens in the Bible? I said, there sure are. Y'all thought I was smart, and I had just already studied for the message tonight. That's all the reason I knew that. But it says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, listen, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You know what the Bible just called a stranger there? An unsaved person who's lost without Christ, who has no peace with God, who has no hope in this world. Then it says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, there's that word in again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It goes on to say in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we were once strangers to God. We were once strangers to the promise of salvation. And God says, when you bring in all of your hard-earned gatherings, is there any way that you would be willing to cut some corners so that others could be fed with the bread from heaven? Now remember again, opportunity cost. No doubt we could spend every dime that we have on something else. I mentioned it this morning, and I didn't mention it this morning in a critical way, and I don't mention it now in a critical way, but I was thinking yesterday, I believe in the last couple of months, or just this month, I think in our church we've had five different families buy a vehicle. Five different families, either new or used. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm for it. I love it when people are able to get something in their life. But that tells me that we do what we want to do with our money. And again, I said it this morning, I drive a relatively new vehicle, and so I'm not saying you can't own something new. But we all could spend every dime we have on something else. But are we willing to cut any corners for missions? I'm not saying take your family and go live in a tent so you can take care of mission. I'm not saying that. If that's what God wants you to do, then you might want to talk to your wife first. But I'm not saying that. We all have fixed expenses that can't be changed. Now, if some of you went out and got new cars, and then this month you're going to say, I can't do missions, God help you. But we all have fixed expenses that cannot be changed as long as that we have that debt, till we pay that debt off. But many of us have frivolous spending that I think perhaps is worth a second look if we really care about faith promise missions. Now, real quick here, I want to look at some folks in the Bible who cut corners and sacrificed for others. If you want to turn to the book of Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews, and we'll look through these real quick, and then we'll be done for the night. Cutting corners for missions. God said, don't gather everything in your field. Don't leave those corners so the stranger can have something to eat. And you and I once were strangers, and we got to eat of the bread from heaven. We got to accept Christ as Savior. And maybe God tonight is saying, hey, are you willing to? You know, God used to tell children of Israel that all the time in the Old Testament, for ye were strangers in Egypt. Don't forget what it was like to be a stranger in Egypt. And he says to us, don't forget what it's like to be a stranger from the covenant, be a stranger from the promise of salvation. Are we willing to cut corners? Are we willing to go without maybe that one meal where we eat out, or that one donut, or that one box of shell? There are several of us that went hunting a couple weeks ago. It cost several hundred dollars to make a hunting trip like that. I'm not saying don't enjoy, don't have fun. But don't say that, well, we just can't really get involved in missions when I watch the way some of us spend money. Me too. But I do have a commitment and a priority to Faith Promise Missions through my local church. Paul was willing to cut corners for Onesimus here in the book of Philemon. Onesimus was a servant, was a slave apparently to Philemon. And at some point he left Philemon. Philemon somewhat upset at him. Somehow he runs into the Apostle Paul later on. Onesimus gets saved. Paul writes a letter back to Philemon and says, hey, perhaps he departed from you for a while so that he could be a blessing to you now. And now don't count him as a slave. Count him as a brother in Christ. And man, if he's wronged you, if Onesimus has wronged you, Philemon, he says, man, listen, I'll take care of it. I'll cover it. Look at it there in verse number 18, the little letter there of Philemon, verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self. Besides, there's a lot of preaching in those couple of verses there. In fact, the book itself, Philemon, is a picture of God. Paul is a picture of Jesus Christ. Onesimus is a picture of the sinner. And Paul says that, put that on my account, just like Jesus Christ. Our sin was imputed to him, placed upon his account. His righteousness, that salvation, is imputed to us, placed upon our account. That's how we can be justified in the eyes of God. But Paul was willing there to cut corners for Onesimus. He could have spent whatever little money he had on whatever he thought he needed or wanted, but he said, you know what, I love Onesimus, I'm glad he's saved. If he's wronged you, if he owes you something, put that on my account. Turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. We're going to see another person here that was willing to cut corners and sacrifice for someone else. Again, opportunity costs. If they decide to spend this money, they cannot spend it elsewhere. So it is a sacrifice, and it is saying, you know what? I'm going to get concerned about others. In Luke chapter number 10, the Good Samaritan was willing to cut corners to help a man that probably hated his guts because of his Samaritan heritage. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and the way I see it, this was probably a Jew. In this passage, look at Luke 10 and verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I believe the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, and as some have compassion, making a difference. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So Paul was willing to cut corners for Onesimus. He was able to spend money for this man that he otherwise could have spent down at the Dairy Queen. The Good Samaritan was willing to cut corners to help a man that probably would have hated his guts if they'd have known each other personally before that incident. By the way, I mentioned the other night that when we give to missions, sometimes we're supporting missionaries on fields that hate America. But their souls lost and dying and on their way to hell. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're just about done. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Second Corinthians 8. I just want to remind us tonight that Jesus sacrificed in order that you and I might be saved. Look there at 2 Corinthians 8 and one verse, in verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You've heard the song, he paid a debt he didn't know. I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus Christ took my sin, I took his righteousness. That's pretty good trade. Not on his part. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus sacrificed in order for you and I to be saved. The Good Samaritan sacrificed in order for that fellow there to be taken care of. Paul sacrificed in order to take care of Onesimus or any of his debts. And God told the children of Israel, when you reap the harvest of your land, and don't be stingy, don't be selfish, don't be a man or a lady that lacks faith. Don't go gather it all up and say, but this is my paycheck. This is my money. If I give to missions, I won't be able to buy what I want over there, and I won't be able to have this, and I won't be able to do those things. Oh, listen, not only can God multiply our seed sown and do some great things with what we do give to missions on the mission field, but I guarantee you, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. And I believe also God dumps a good measure. I know several people, and I've done it before, where I just kind of look. And in my position, you know, being able to preach places, it's not tomorrow night, but other times you get love offerings and things. And I've been able to look back and say, this is how much I gave to missions. And look how many times I got asked to preach here or asked to teach at the Bible college or things where once I made a commitment, God returned most of that back to me in one way or another. Hey, why don't we just try God and cut some corners for missions and just decide, you know what? It's worth it, man. If these guys could travel around, put up with people like us, come down here to Texas, and go down to a drug capital of the world and preach the gospel to them. Man, you know what? I can sacrifice $50 a month. I can sacrifice a couple hundred dollars a month. If they can go live on those streets and those places, and I can go home to my nice house and get in my nice vehicle and wear my nice clothes and sit in an air-conditioned building and take my kids to a safe place and for church. If they can do that, I want to be a part of that. I want to do all I can. You know what? I'm going to turn this tractor. I'm going to quit living my life like this whole field belongs to me. It is God that gives you power to get wealth. I'm not trying to get you, guilt you into it. We're not supposed to give grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth the cheerful giver. I want you to cheerfully say, you know what? I'm going to turn this tractor. I've been one of those that says, this is all mine. I'm going to spend it where I want. This is all mine. I'm going to spend it where I want. I can't afford missions. I just can't afford it. Now, I will say to you, and we're done here, but I will say to you, we all have to make sure we get our tithe down first. The tithe is the Lord's. That's not optional with God. But I tell you what, you really want to light yourself on fire for God. Start giving grace giving. Start giving over and above your tithe. And boy, missions is a place, I can't tell you what to do other than preaching. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but missions is a place I would start. I would get in on what's going here. But some of us sometimes will say, well, I just can't do that. If I went home tonight and walked in my metal building, I got a lot of stuff I rarely ever touch. If I walked in my house, man, I'm not going to tell you what all I have. There might be a thief amongst us. But I can tell you what, we've got enough. I think we could do some sacrificing for missions. And the Lord said, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. God said to the Jews, hey, when you go to harvest your corn or your wheat or your grapes or whatever it is you produce, don't gather up every little last bit of it. Leave the corners of the field. Leave the gleanings of the harvest, those that fall to the ground. Let the stranger be fed. Hey, Christians, we could easily spend our entire paycheck on fixed expenses and then on discretionary spending. $5 here, $8 there, $10 here, $25 there. We could easily say, I just don't have any extra money for missions. But is that really the truth? Is that really the truth? About 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, whichever it is, turkey season's going to roll around. I guarantee you, I've never sat out of turkey season and said, I just don't have the money for turkey hunting this year. This past year, deer season, I just didn't have much time. I just didn't hunt much this past year, but it's never been because I just can't find the money. We always find the money. We always find the money. I'll just say it one more time. This is just one area. I would not give more money to a cable television company than I do to Faith Promise Missions. I don't know what everybody's bills are other than helping people with their finances. I just think you ought to have discretion. I don't think you ought to shout it out to everybody what all bills you have and what all you pay. And I don't think you ought to sit at the table amongst everybody and balance your checkbook. Baby, what do we have? I don't think you ought to do that. So I don't care what your bills are. That's your business. But as I watch some folks and as I watch me, I just know we spend some extra money just kind of wherever. I'm not saying pay your bills, give to missions, it's over with. Not saying that. But if we say I just don't have any extra money for missions, is that really the truth? And is that really Christ-like? Is there any way I could cut some corners? You think about it. Young people, you think about it. One of the girls, one of the kids was in here a week or so ago selling candy out in the foyer. We don't do it in here, but I don't mind it out in the hallway there. Some of the kids were walking around with candy bars out their pocket. It's about discipline. The only way I come up with our missions money each month, and Miss Audie comes up with some mission money on her own, is it's the discipline of not spending it somewhere else. Teenagers should learn financial discipline. Young junior age boys and girls should learn financial discipline and commitment to God. And adults, some of you ladies don't have jobs, big old jobs. Maybe you get enough, you say, you know what, I'm always going here and spending there and buying here. I think I could get in on this thing for $10 a month. And I guarantee it adds up. And we call missionaries like this, and they say, oh, thank God another church took us on. So I can't wait to see what God does in our church this year. Filling out those commitments tonight, you can turn them into me, you can turn them into a deacon, however you want to do it, doesn't matter. But tonight and over the next week, we'll be asking for those, and then we'll add it up, and we'll let you know what our commitment is for the all together for the year. Looking forward to what God will do, but just think about it. Maybe you've been telling yourself, no, we can't do missions. Come on now. I have more guns than I need. I personally do. Never even shoot most of them. Before I say, well, I'm not giving to missions, I'm selling a gun. Before I let people die and go to hell, I'm going to get rid of my truck. And we're going to go with one car. Just don't say you can't do anything. All right, where can we cut corners for missions? Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our invitation time? Help us, Lord, this final night to just kind of think about it again before we make our commitment. And I know there are some folks in our church that are hurting financially, but the money we'll spend sometimes hunting or at restaurants, amazing amounts. Help us, Lord, not to turn around and say we can't do anything for missions. Help us, Lord, to have a part in seeing folks saved around the world. If it's a small part, it's big in your eyes. Maybe there's some that never given can start this year giving 10 a month, 20 a month. And it all adds up with everybody else's giving, and we're able to continue to support more and more missionaries. Help us, I pray, as we make this commitment over the next week. Bless our invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, piano begins to